Daria, Holm, and Rosaline. So, thank you for joining me for this discussion on AirDura, the initiative aimed at boosting funding into research for rare diseases. Daria, before we talk about AirDura directly, what exactly are the inherent challenges to funding medical research in rare diseases?
I would say that there are many and at different levels, but I would say for the most obvious ones, as we know, there are still challenges that are related to the scarcity and the fragmentation of obviously of patients, the low number of patients, but also of the specific expertise or even actually the research happening for many rare diseases. When we're thinking about really research projects starting, there are a lot of challenges related to the access of data, but also now more, especially when we think more and more about how we can we link the recent challenges really with the outputs and more treatments and solutions for patients on with rare diseases. It's also there are new challenges coming about the overall conceptualization of research. In terms of how do we consider the rare diseases, in terms of the definition when thinking about how we develop, for example, solutions and therapies for rare diseases. So the overall, let's say, approach to rare diseases, but also to the approach to how we do research in terms of the addressing the specific needs. So starting from the needs of the patients, but also making sure that we deliver with the, I would say, the end product in mind, if I can say so. And that means thinking from the very start about what is going to happen next, about the quality of what is going to be delivered, about the translatability of what is going to be delivered, and so on. So this is how I would resume those different challenges.
No, that's interesting. So, AirDura, this European initiative, is aiming to try and boost funding into research into rare diseases in response to some of these challenges. What exactly is AirDura, Daria, and what will it practically entail? And if I may also ask, how is AirDura different from the European Joint Project on Rare Diseases?
First of all, ERDERA stands for the European Rare Diseases Research Alliance. And actually, this program, which is a 7 years program that should start in September 2024 and last at least until 2031, or even maybe extended for 3 years more. The objective really of ERDERA is to, and I will come later to how it's different from the EJPRD, is to really finalize, if I can say so, the building of the rare diseases research ecosystem. And this obviously passes through different things that we considered as part of this ecosystem. And obviously, this encompasses funding, so boost funding, not only in terms of numbers, so ensure more funding for rare diseases, but also in terms of schemes of how research can be supported, but also to boost all the things that are part, let's say, of the research or that are happening in parallel to research to make it really effective. So this includes also the education, but also the translation, better translation of research results, any additional supporting services. So this is one of the things that we want to finalize in terms of the ecosystem related, let's say, to the rare disease research funding and its efficiency. But then there are other things that ERDERA is going to do and that are new, let's in a way. And first is to also demonstrate the capacity of making the rare disease clinical trial ready. And I'm sure that Holm is going to speak also more about it. But it's the idea is that not only we should not only finance research and make it more effective, but also demonstrate that with the different capacities that we are going to bring on board by bringing together patients, European reference networks, the different technological, let's say, infrastructures, we can deliver, we can accelerate this clinical trial readiness of rare diseases. And finally, also, it should demonstrate hopefully the power of public-private partnerships, because this is something also that this program is going to encompass, and this is relatively new. And here, if I can come to the second part of your question, what's the difference between ERDERA and EJPRD? I would say the European Joint Program on Rare Diseases focused on building of the different elements of the ecosystem. What we want to do with ERDERA is to demonstrate their efficiency and their implementation. So that's the idea about all these schemes around funding. But also, The clinical research network is something that will be new, and the public-private partnerships is, at least in the dimension that we have thought about them in ERDERA, is also something new, and it is the first time actually that we can demonstrate that under one program we have on one hand public funders, research performing organizations, patients, infrastructures, the clinical networks and industry on board, but also small and medium enterprises together working for the benefits of patients with rare diseases. So for me, that would be the short description of ERDERA and how it's different from EJPRD.
Thanks for that distinction, Daria. That makes sense. And it's interesting how ERDERA is building on the blocks that have already been built, if you will. So you've touched on some of its objectives. What kind of future developments in rare disease research do you maybe hope for and anticipate as a result of ERDERA over the coming years?
I think, and actually I was even talking about it today, is that we are building on about, well, more than 20 years. And when thinking about what would be the expected, let's say, I would say the future or the results, where we'd be really talking about almost 30 years of different developments. And so from, I would say, the sustainability standpoint, we really hope that this is something that ERDERA could really create, like a kind of a solid basis for a structure that could be, let's say, anchored in the European ecosystem. But in terms of the outputs, if I can say, if I could structure them from, let's say, more operational to more impact related, I think that really I hope that ERDERA is going to finalize the creation of a kind of a holistic approach to rare diseases research pipeline. And so, as I mentioned, the fact that it will be really optimized at each level, and that at the same time we can connect those different elements. So not only think about delivering research, but also thinking about the education, for example, of future generations, to make sure that actually rare diseases research is an attractive also topic for the researchers and for the community, to make sure that it won't stop. I hope that we are going to demonstrate that by bringing together different stakeholders, we have created a real competitive community, the competitive community and environment that will attract investors for the rare diseases, for the benefits of rare diseases patients, but also that we really have an efficient system that functions, and that we can demonstrate how rare diseases are pioneering for many other fields. And obviously, and this is the most important one, that these efforts foreseen for the next 7-10 years will really demonstrate the concrete impact on patients' lives, the solutions, the diagnosis, and the new treatments.
These are definitely very worthy goals. Hopefully they will be achieved. So I'd now like to ask some questions to Holm. Holm, Daria had mentioned the Clinical Research Network. Can you explain what the Clinical Research Network is in ERDERA?
Yeah, thanks. So the Clinical Research Network comprises the in-house research activities, and that targets clinical trial readiness, accelerating diagnosis and translation of basic research into therapy development. And as Daria already alluded to, the Clinical Research Network actually follows the overall holistic approach of ERDERA. So it does research, so it's in-house research, but it's also development of research infrastructure and provision actually of research infrastructure. And it's also doing innovation demonstrators. And these things really focus on three things, and which are diagnosis, clinical outcome, and advanced therapy development. And I should also emphasize that it's a academic private endeavor. So in the Clinical Research Network, also both private and academic stakeholders are being involved.
Interesting. And in terms of clinical insights, how is ERDERA expected to maybe advance the understanding and treatment of rare diseases, and more precisely, of rare neurological diseases? I'm aware that you, of course, are involved with the European Reference Network on rare neurological diseases.
Yes, indeed, I am. So I'm the coordinator of the European Reference Network. So I can try to explain, and we'll be trying to do two things. So first, take a bit more generic perspective and then just explain a bit more in detail using some examples. And I can start with diagnosis. So for diagnostic research, the main research or one of the main research aims is, of course, to provide diagnosis based on cutting-edge research. And the ambition really there is to enable, coordinate, and implement in European diagnostic research data sharing, data access, data analysis, and data interpretation effort, which is based on the one hand on reanalysis, on the second hand on innovative methods like complete genomics and omics. That's the one hand. And the other hand is really to provide a complete and also generalizable workflow for all rare diseases. And that actually then encompasses diagnostic methods from exome to long read sequencing. So meaning that we will have just one workflow, one methodology, which is fit for all genetically caused rare disease patients. So that's diagnosis. And this is actually a research topic which is more or less applicable to all rare disease patients, so at least the ones which are genetically caused. Then the second main pillar on which the clinical research network focuses is real-world data and outcome. And here, the focus is really clinical trial readiness. And what is being meant by clinical trial readiness is being meant that one has the respective validated clinical research tools, so instruments by which you can, for instance, measure disease progression. And then, of course, you also need to have the knowledge on the natural history. And both are being addressed in two work packages, one on real-world data and one on clinical outcomes. And I give you two examples on how it's being targeted towards rare neurological diseases. And the two examples are first that there will be registry data integrated. So the situation nowadays that there are quite a few registries which have a focus on at least partially overlapping diseases. And it makes a lot of sense to integrate those registry data to have a reference data set, which then is informative for a respective clinical trial preparation. And this will be done for the rare neurological diseases, hereditary specific paraplegias and ataxia. So there are three registries which will be integrated, resulting in more than 5,000 data sets. And that's really a quite large number for rare diseases. So the second example I can give you is from a bit different area, and that relates to the qualification of existing registries so that they can serve as post-authorization registries, so phase four registry. And that's also being done within the work package on real data, real world data. And one registry which is being qualified in this work package is the registry on neurodegeneration with brain iron accumulation. And the third example, and I will stop there with giving you examples, is it's an example actually from the work package on clinical outcome assessment. There, the focus is very much on patient-centered outcomes, and the emphasis is really on patient-centered. And there, the respective outcomes will be made regulatory compliant. And the means to do so is that respective outcomes will be being brought in accordance with data sets. So ICF stands for International Classification of Functions. And that's a disease coding which is actually very relevant for patients. And by doing that, we can actually see if the respective clinical outcomes are really patient-centered and can then qualify respective outcomes to be used in clinical trials. And this will be done, for instance, for also hereditary spastic paraplegias and ataxias, which are two of the mentioned rare neurological diseases. And the third pillar the clinical research network will be focusing on is innovative therapies. And there we have two complementary activities, main activities. One is ATMPs, so advanced therapy medical products. And that's very much industry driven. And I think that's very good in this case. So it's to use what has been developed in the industry area and to be brought into a matching with the respective diseases so that what is being done can be used, implemented for the respective rare diseases. And the second activity for innovative therapies, that's complementary. And that's really focused on ultra-rare and nano-rare diseases. And there we focus on oligonucleotides developments, which really focus on single patients. So it's really an N of one, maybe N of few approach. And by doing this in the academic environment, we can actually, or will be actually developing a platform, which can develop this approach into a programmable approach so that it's not only done for one patient, and not only for one disease for which are very few patients, but it can really then be used for more patients, more diseases, so that there's really a blueprint which can be used for the development of those therapies for many patients. And that's, in a way, the spirit of ADERA. So do research, provide infrastructure, enable other researchers to use what has been developed, and then really get it to the patient so that they can actually benefit from it. That's the most important thing.
I see. Those are some really tangible examples. Thank you, Helm. So my final question to you right now, anyway, is you've mentioned data sets in your answer. How exactly will EDRA tackle the challenge of standardizing research data across Europe? And what would you say would be the implications for the future of rare diseases in Europe?
Yeah, thanks for the question on data, on standardization of data, but also on usage of data. So all what I explained in relation to the clinical research network cannot be done without data, without standardized data, without having the respective data infrastructure in place. And I think in ADERA, we are very well placed to actually serve the respective purposes and services. And that's done via what we call data service hub. And that's things. It's actually a data hub, and it is also a service hub, so to say. So it's data and services. And both is really focused on having, on the one hand, a resource on data sources which can be used for research. And I think the main keyword here is virtual platform. So there is a virtual platform which has been developed in EGPRD, so in the European Joint Programming on Rare Diseases, which will now being evolved and further being used and implemented and rolled out in ADERA. And the second one is really the services, which will be also taken from EGPRD, but also further developed and further being implemented. So these data interoperability, fair data services can actually be used for the in-house research, but also for all the projects which will be funded through ADERA. And I think in that sense, data, standardized data, data sources, fair data sources for rare diseases is a key thing, and it's what kind of in the center of what we do.
I see. Thank you, Helm. That indeed makes sense. So I'd now like to ask some questions to Rosaline. Rosaline, what will be the involvement of patients in EDRA, and what might be the role of our own organization, Eurodis, in EDRA?
Thank you, Julien. I really like the fact that you're speaking about involvement, because this is really what we speak about, involvement. We're not only speaking about engaging or having patients participating from time to time, we're really speaking about involving the patients and the patient organizations. So in ERDERA, we are 9 patient organizations, including 2 umbrella organizations. So Eurodis, Rare Disease Europe, and Rare Disease International, RDI. So Eurodis is representing all rare diseases, but also 1,000 members organizations, and RDI as 100 organizations all over the world. So we're coming with those 2 umbrella organizations together with 7 other patient organizations. So it's really a great group of organizations representing not only one rare disease, but really a big group of rare diseases. And with 2 umbrella organizations, we're really trying to represent most patients with rare diseases. So for instance, Eurodis will be leading patient involvement in education and training. World Duchenne Organization will be leading on the data side. And IFM Teletor, for instance, will be very much involved in the public-private partnerships work package. So we're involved in all those work streams and we're staffed with different activities. So just to echo what has been mentioned by Daria and also mentioned by Holm before, when it comes to clinical research networks, we've got patient organizations involved to assess the burden of rare diseases, to be involved in the research itself. When it comes to education and training, as I mentioned, Eurodis will be co-leading the work stream, and we will be building upon what has been developed in the European Joint Programme on Rare Diseases, still developing specific trainings for patients, but we will do it with more researchers, more young researchers involved at the same time. So to really develop this mutual learning from researchers and from patients. So we will be developing onboarding, basic trainings on research. So it's all ELDERA activities are focusing on research. So it's really training on research. And we've got in this specific work stream, the one we're co-leading, but we won't be developing, other partners will be developing those activities. There's also curriculums that will be developed with universities in universities, because the idea is to train also the next generation of researchers, the next generation of clinicians, and also the next generation of citizens. So there will be this European curriculum. And what I want to mention also about the education and training, because this is really something close to heart. And when I say heart, it's really patients, that everything starts with education. So research also starts with education and training. And all what we've developed and we plan to develop in ELDERA is to align those training and education with the main priorities and activities of ELDERA. So you've understood from Holm and Daria that we will have this big block on clinical research network. We do have a big block on funding as well. So we want to make sure that the people who will be active in clinical research network are able to get the relevant training to make the most of this clinical research network and to upgrade also the capacity of the research community. And when it comes to funding, we want to make sure that people are trained also appropriately, so that the funding that is allocated to them is used in the best and most efficient way. Meaning that, for instance, when we speak about translational research, sometimes it's still a bit obscure for researchers what is translational research. So we will make sure that are developed and allied to the researchers, because we won't be developing everything from start and from scratch, and to make sure that those trainings are aligned with the different needs of ELDERA. So this is for the training and education. And just to go back to the patient's involvement, we're 9 patient organizations involved as direct beneficiaries and partners in ELDERA, but the objective is, of course, to go beyond that number and also to have a lot of patients and a lot of patients organizations involved in answering the calls for proposals that will be issued in ELDERA. And it was a possibility in the European Joint Programme for Rare Diseases. The objective is to go on with that, to have specific funding available for patients to be involved in research. If there's no funding, it's not possible to be concretely and actively involved. So this is it will be an opportunity in ELDERA, and we will definitely push for more funding for patients groups, so that there's more patients-driven research funded by ELDERA as well.
Thanks, Rosaline. So it's clear that the patient community and Eurodis will be very comprehensively and integrally involved in ELDERA. That's really important. Hopefully that means the research promoted and undertaken as a result of ELDERA holistically addresses specific rare disease communities' needs and perhaps their most pressing medical needs. If I may put you on the spot slightly, Rosaline, are there any questions that you have for either Daria or Holm?
Yes, I do have a question for Daria first. So the ELDERA will be a co-funded initiative, so with a strong involvement from the national member states, European and beyond. Could you explain a little bit what will be this national involvement, alignment, and also the international reach of ELDERA?
Yes, thank you very much, Rosaline. Indeed, and this is maybe something that I did not mention when talking about the difference also with AGPRD, and then what we are expecting is that there is also a strong, let's say, expectations, but also support in relation to a better alignment between, let's say, European and national level. What does it mean in practice is that We are planning to support the development of what we call the national mirror groups. This kind of development of the national mirror groups started already under the AJPRD, where several countries developed the, let's say, the capacity and developed their organized, officialized in a way, their national mirror group that, again, of which the objective was really to bring the different stakeholders at the national level to discuss what are the national needs, national priorities, and how this can be best aligned with what is happening at European and international level. On one hand, by making sure that those needs are being expressed and they can be taken into account when thinking about the European and international actions, and on the other hand, to accelerate the uptake of what is being developed at European and international level. So it is also with this concept in mind that we decided to create this stronger work stream in ERDERA, where we also dedicate some specific funding, which was not the case in the AJPRD, for all the national mirror groups, and where we hope that by the end of the second year, all the countries that will be involved within ERDERA will have their national mirror groups. And we hope that this will not be only, in a way, building the bridges between the national and, let's say, the European and international dimension, but also that this will also help maybe to revigorate some of the things that were put aside at the national level when thinking about the maybe the national strategies or plans, because obviously we are far from being equal about how rare diseases are being still treated in the different countries. We also have a dedicated part that fosters more specifically what we call the underrepresented countries. And here, to be honest, we have, depending obviously on the stand, let's say, on who is speaking, we do not necessarily have the same definition, but the idea is really to better share knowledge, but also to better drive the capacities that can be, that are developed in those underrepresented countries, but also give them more visibility and to demonstrate also what are the already existing capacities that we could leverage from those countries. And finally, the last part, which is the international dimension, and this is as mentioned also by Roselyne, where we have, for example, the Rare Disease and International that is involved, is that obviously, and especially in the field of rare diseases, we cannot limit ourselves only to Europe. There are many rare diseases, and in general, I would say the approach to rare diseases requires a global dimension and the global strategy. So we will continue the support for the scientific secretariat of the International Rare Disease Research Consortium, but also develop, let's say, more in-depth alignment when thinking about the clinical research network, the international dimension of the clinical research network, the international dimension, let's say, of the networking, the involvement of patients, and so on.
Interesting. Holm, do you have something to add to that, or would you like to ask a question?
Yeah, so I would actually like to add on that also make a comment. I think it's pretty clear that the ambition of ERDERA is really, well, really large, and we're all eager to start ERDERA and provide benefits to rare disease patients as quickly as possible. However, I think it should also be clear that, and I think we all understood that now, ERDERA is a quite complex endeavor. And I think we all need to go through a respective learning curve to learn how to actually operate within ERDERA. So it's not just research, and we all are used to doing research, but it's really also really building an environment. And I think that needs to be addressed in equal terms. So doing research, at least from my perspective, and building a respective environment, which is, well, it involves at least public, private, and patient. So it really is all encompassing. And that's really a challenge we have to address. And we are really quite lucky and happy that we have also very good coordination, which will us guide through this respective endeavor.
I see. Rosaline, you have something to add, I believe.
Just to close out, I think in ERDERA, because it's a very large program, we've developed also a number of governance tools, namely there's a patient and public involvement and engagement task force, which is located in the governing work package, so really close to the coordination. And the objective is really to serve also the patient community, but also the public as a whole, and to be able to answer incoming queries, because there's a lot of partners and institutions involved in ERDERA, but this is also a developing ecosystem, a growing environment. And we perfectly know also from the patient side that there's also new patients every day. So we really need to explain, to make an extra effort in leading them through the right scheme for them, in onboarding them in research as well. It's also something we haven't said also, and which is adding certainly a bit of complexity with regard to a European project, is that we will evolve year after year. This is not a definitive environment. So this is also the interesting part, but okay, we're keen on onboarding more patients for sure. And also I think more researchers at different levels. And of course, there will be a number of funded projects. So it will be a growing community.
I see. So in short, it sounds like EDRA is definitely a very all-encompassing and complex and large effort, as has been mentioned, but it also does sound like it's a very important and indeed promising one. Daria, Holm and Rosaline, thank you so much for joining me for this discussion on EDRA.
Thank you very much, Julien.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Julien.
Thank you.